We are continuing our series, Be Killing Sin, or Sin Will Be Killing You.
Yes.
Amen. It's a serious, Trent had a very serious look with a little tilt on it. You don't play with sin. It's not cute, and a sin is not a mistake.
That's right.
People want to minimize sin and say it's just mistakes and things of that nature. No, it is an offense against God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Help us to see that, Father. Let's look at our foundation scriptures. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5, and I'm going to try to promise you that we just want to just read them today, but I mean, I still have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen.
I want to make sure I'm hearing him in this. So if it's his will, we'll just read, but I hope you enjoy as much as I do just hearing it over and over again. Verse 5, Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, this is from the NASB, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. But the literal Greek again is by a once for all act and at once put to death the members which are upon the earth. That is a tremendous command. It's in the aorist, by once for all act and at once put to death the members which are upon the earth. That's what the literal Greek is saying. It's something that we're to do whenever a sin manifests itself. And God in his infinite grace and mercy allows us to see that sin. See, there are sins that we just don't see. We don't realize it. It's even the grace of God for him to even show us that we are in sin. Mm-hmm. Now, let me hurry up and say, that doesn't mean that when you do sin and you don't know you're sinning, that you don't pay the price for it. No, many have died and are sick for sinning and not knowing about it because it's still an affront to God and it still must be paid for. Does that make sense? Although Jesus paid the price for our sins, ultimately, eternally speaking, yet there is a price to pay for our sin proximally. The ones that we commit now after we've been born again, we reap that sin, we sow the whirlwind of that sin. It's just that it doesn't cost us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus paid for our sins eternally. But you still suffer the consequences of it right while here on earth. Amen? Mm-hmm. So if you fool around and the young lady gets pregnant, you know, because she's having extramarital affair, sex rather, or same thing, you know, that the consequences still are there. It's not going to not. The blood of Jesus doesn't erase your temporal consequences that happens here and there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I set out to say this. When sin rears its ugly head, and God alerts you, that's a sin, we're to put that sin to death. Then when the next one rears up, you're to put, that's why it's in the present tense. You are to always be killing sin. Yes, it is. That's why the title is Be Killing Sin. That's odd, awkward wording. It's in old English. But what it's telling you is this is something you're doing all the time, day by day by day by day. That's why your vertical between you and the Lord has got to be tight. Because he's going to consistently tell you, hey, that's not right. That was a sin. Repent of that sin. This is how you do that. This is how you avoid that sin in the future. He's always coaching. He's the great coach. He's a great counselor. We need him. We need him. We need that counsel. That's why he's called the Parakletos, para, alongside, Kletos, helper.
Yes, thank you.
He's the helper who is right alongside, right in that standing shoulder to shoulder with you. That's symbolically speaking, because we know, technically speaking, he's inside of us. Mm-hmm. Greater is he that is in you. But if you want to look at it to kind of bring a comfort, he's right alongside like a buddy old pal.
Yes.
With his arm around us, counseling us. Hey, don't do that. Don't look at that. Don't say that. Now, notice all those were after the fact. Because you looked at, don't look at that. You said that, don't say that. But as you grow in grace and in the knowledge, as you go from glory to glory and from faith to faith, and you're maturing in the things of God, it'll be like, don't say that. You're thinking it, haven't come out yet. You'll start to not commit the sin. It'll just stay in your mind. And the Holy, you'll hear the Holy Ghost telling you ahead of time, don't say that, don't do that, don't listen to that, and so forth. And so we'll be killing sin even on a greater level. So therefore, let's put to death, therefore, what is earthly in us. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Put to death. Let's do this regularly. Romans 6, please. Romans 6. Didn't do too bad on that one. Pray for me, Trent Duane. Romans 6. 12, Romans 6. Look at verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lust. Just very quickly, remember that's in the present tense. Stop allowing, because they were allowing it. Constantly, consistently, and continually. Stop allowing sin to reign in your mortal body. Love it, the reminder. You don't have to sin. That's good news.
Amen.
When he says stop allowing, that means you have the power to stop allowing sin to reign in your mortal bodies. Lord, help us to receive the comfort from this scripture. Great comfort. Stop allowing sin. Reign as king. Verse 13, and do not go on presenting, same thing, the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But what you are to do is present and go on presenting yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, because he's raised us, Ephesians 2, 1 and 5, from the dead, and Colossians, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Thank you, Father, for those choices. Slide over to chapter 8, verse 13. Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 8, 13. But if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. We talked about that, the second death in Revelation. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. There's some inside information. The putting the death, putting to death sin, the deeds of the body, is done by, through, because of, through the power of what? The capital S, the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to turn in Romans, Galatians 5:22, that we look at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. Then out of love, all of these others are branches, if you will, on the tree of love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucifixion eventually ends in death. The sin, the crucified the flesh and its desires, they've been crucified. Now what we have to do is go ahead and kill them off. How? Well, we went through those five things. What are the five ways to be killing sin? One, abstain from fleshly lusts. How do you kill off sin? Run away from everything that wants to feed the love, which is the second thing. Don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. If you're running away from sin, avoiding all those things that cause your lust to rise up, then you're going to automatically do number two. You will then provide nothing for the flesh to feed on. Three is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Act like him. Think like him. Speak like him. Behave like him. Four, watch and pray that you enter not into a temptation that will overwhelm you and you fail and sin against God. And number five, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. That's where we stopped last time again. It's the sword of the Spirit, the sword that is the word of God that the Spirit supplies. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to go out and fight the devil with some man-made sword, if you will. We have a Holy Ghost sword, a sword that is powered by the Holy Ghost. And we said it's the spoken word of God in particular, not just the written word, because from the written word comes the spoken word. But it's the word that is taught for the purpose of us understanding and ultimately what to our lives? Yes, applying it, doing it. Applying that understood spoken word as taught to our daily lives. When that happens, then that word becomes an active weapon in our spiritual hands, if you will. You've activated it in a sense. Because a lot of us hear the word. Jesus said it. The two folks on the beach, if you will. You understand? Both heard the word. Why did one house fall and one didn't? Because only one of them did the word. And the power is in doing. The power is in obedience. And you want to be really powerful? I dare you to consistently obey.
Amen.
I dare you.
Yes.
The preached gospel, the spoken word, is the power of God. So what we're to do is put down all human, natural, earthly weapons. Why? Because they are powerless. They are useless. They are inadequate. They are ineffective. They are insufficient when it comes to killing sin. That's why you ought to reach for the throne, as the old saying goes, and not for the phone. Throne represents spiritual reaching for God and the things of God, the word of God. The phone is reaching for humans, human strength, human this, human that. And reaching for the phone is to reach for human natural weapons that are powerless, useless, inadequate, and ineffective. All right, preacher. I got a help preacher back there. Don't mind it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Still reviewing. Look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 3. We just want to clarify again and reiterate to the people of God that our weapons are not natural. They're not earthly. They are spiritual, powered by God. Lord, help us to really get what I just said, what your word is teaching us. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, meaning we're walking in this fleshly, earthly, natural body, we're humans. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Strongholds are fortresses that are built up in the mind. That's what the strongholds are. What you believe, what you understand, what you meditate on, what you're thinking is going to influence what you say and what you do and how you behave yourself. So I believe that the fiery darts mentioned in Ephesians 6, 17, 16, somewhere in there, that our shield of faith is to quench the fiery darts, the flaming missiles They are aimed at your mind. If I can get you to think a certain way, especially that's not biblical, I can get you. That's why the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, the church at Rome, in 12 and 2, Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't look like the world. Conform means to outwardly look like the world. Because all you can do is be do outwardly. Because inwardly, you're born again. He's talking to born again Christians. He used the word conform in the Greek because you can only outwardly look like the world and sound like the world. Because inwardly, you're born again. He said, that's ridiculous to do that. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing, the renovation, the tearing apart of your mind. The way you stop looking like the world, acting like the world, speaking like the world, thinking like the world, is to be, excuse my ghetto, who you already is. Well, what? Who is you? A child of God, born again. Your spirit is raised from the dead. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. A species of being that never before existed. Act like that. Let that on the inside transfigure, if you will, and let it burst forth on the outside. The word transformed is the word transfigure. Transfigure Jesus. Who he really was, that his flesh was covering, burst forth on that day. And the glory that shone through him was brighter than the sun at noon. We need to be transfigured. Let what's inside come bursting forth outside. Be who you already is. And who is you? A child of God, born again, regenerated, made alive, with the mind of Christ. So it's very reasonable to ask us to have our minds transformed, because we have, as a present possession, the mind of Christ. Quick prayer. Father God, help us to really get a hold of the fact that we have the mind of Christ, our elder brother. We can think like Christ Jesus. There's no excuse for us to be thinking like the world, thinking like the devil. No excuse. To get a hold of that truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's exciting. We have the mind of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what? Turn there. 1 Corinthians 2. Like a couple of you said, y'all looking at me like a calf with a new gate. The calf ain't seen this gate before. So do I stay? Do I go? I'm confused. I'm not sure. Yes, it says that. I know I heard it before, but I need to see it again. Fine. 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Glory be to God. Who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? In other words, who has known and understood the mind of the Lord, his counsel and his purpose, that they will instruct God and guide him as to how he ought to do this and that and the other? The answer is no one. But he says, but we have the mind of Jesus Christos, the Messiah. We have the mind of him. We have his thoughts and his feelings and his purposes. We have his heart. Boy, that's good news. And we have it as a present possession. The Amplified says, we have the mind of Christ and do hold that mind, the thoughts, feelings, and purposes. You can be compassionate like the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're not the most compassionate person, you know, as just a natural. Some people are more compassionate than others. But the great equalizer is the mind of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Does that make sense? So you can be more compassionate to others, whereas before you weren't. Maybe when you were out in the world, you were not born again, you were in your old flesh, you just wasn't compassionate. You just didn't care, whatever it is. But once you are born again, you have the mind of Christ and you have his compassion. Oh, that's good news. And we can be compassionate. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, rather. 2 Corinthians 10. So verse 4 lets us know that verse 3. Wage for war in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. Mm-hmm. Mighty before God. For the destruction of fortresses and strongholds. And those strongholds are where? In your mind. Thank you. What is a stronghold? What is a fortress? Something that is impenetrable. Do you know why you can't just walk up to like your nephews or your son or your sons or your whoever, your husband, friend or enemy, and just say, hey, believe in Jesus Christ. Throw yourself on the mercy of the cross. Because that sin in their mind is impenetrable. And if the word of God, the jackhammer of salvation has to break through that, and it does. Now, when you are born again and you come over, you're not into the things of God, your spirit is born again, those forfeitures don't necessarily just disappear. You follow me? Now there's a war. Before you weren't warring because you were just in the flesh and the stronghold was a stronghold. You believe what you believe. Does that make sense? There was no opposition. Yes. You just believed it freely. Oh boy, how damning has that been? Been on earth 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years or more. And things we just believed, just took for granted. We didn't know we were supposed to discriminate, which means to distinguish between two. Is this true? Is this right? For the dissect, analyze. We didn't know that. We just took whatever. And we chose what to believe as to whether or not that is true. Think about your life. Nobody coached us. Whatever your parents told you, your friends, the news, newspapers, print media. We made this decision. We were the final arbiter of what we were to believe. Yeah. We didn't know we were supposed to let the word do that. How dangerous was that? We are living here today, word of lifers, be not in spite of us, but I mean not because of us, but in spite of ourselves. Amen. Let the church say amen. That we should have been dead. I'm talking about before we were saved. By his grace, he saved us. Strongholds are impenetrable ideas and beliefs and notions and theories. Look at verse 5. Again, in verse 4, for the destruction of fortresses, impenetrable shelters, if you will. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations. That word speculation has all of that in there. Theories, ideas, beliefs, notions, plans. All of that is in there. Arguments, reasonings. We are destroying that. And that lets you know that that word, when you amplify that word, I think that the Amplified has arguments and theories and reasonings. And we add on there notions, beliefs, ideas. Notice all that is aimed, all of that comes from the mind. Do you recognize the consequence of ideas? slavery, or whether it be the killing of the Jews, whether it be Manson and his crew, all things started with ideas. That'll hit you one day. All of that started with just an idea. It started off with our parents. Our parents. I'm talking about our parents of the whole world. Adam with Eve. An idea. He began to get her to think. He wanted her to think outside the box, if you will, because the box was the word of God. I'm putting my own little spin on this. The box was God's word. She knew what the box, what was being in the box meant. He said, don't touch, don't even, he didn't say don't touch, but don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. We can have every other tree. She went through the whole thing with him. She knew the confines of the box. And what Satan wanted her to do in this little parable, to think outside the box. And the way I get you to do that is I got to attack what you know. I need to attack what's in your mind. I need to get you thinking. And in that thinking, I want that to just sort of slide over into questioning. And then I want that to slide over into doubting. And eventually I want that to end up with refuting. He got our thinking, questioning God's word, doubting what God has said. Eventually, she refuted what God said. Starting here. Did God really say? Right. Newsflash, watch those seemingly innocent questions that pop up in your mind. Because they can be the start of something really big. As a matter of fact, if you think of the most devastating things that you've gone through in your life, I'm not saying straight across the board, some of the devastating things you think about that could have been avoided had you took a different path because you thought, if you thought differently. I think everyone in here just thought of something like, yeah, brother, you preaching real good tonight. That's true, isn't it? Could have been a different path. And it was the grace of God that saved us from ourselves because we thought we were Ford Motor Company. We had a better idea. And that better idea almost cost us our lives. But it did cause us great pain and agony. And some of us are still suffering from some of those choices even on today. I told you, those consequences still make you pay. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Cost you more than you're willing to pay. And keep you longer than you had planned to stay. That is so true. Don't play with sin. Kill it. Don't feed it. Kill it. Yes. Don't excuse it. Kill it. Amen. Don't make allowances for it. Kill it. Don't rationalize it. Kill it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You want to keep, want to maintain a sinful attitude in your godly walk? Play with sin. Rationalize sin. No big deal sin. It'll plague you. Oh, you say? You say, but you'll have a miserable existing life, and you'll, more importantly, you'll bring God no. Come on now, you will not bring God any glory. We were created to bring God glory. Amen. Quiet as it's kept, and it's kept way too quiet. This whole thing of us being saved is not about us. Amen. Approximately, it's not even about Jesus. He'll tell you it's about my Father. I died for him. Yes. He gave you as a gift to me. We're just tertiary in the whole scenario. God asked Jesus to die for us because God wanted to give Jesus a big old present. That was a group of redeemed people out of the mass of humanity to be his gift throughout all eternity. Jesus ultimately died for God in obedience to God because he loved God. You go to most churches and preach that, they're going to kick you out because they don't like the fact that they're not, we, mankind, is not at the center of that. And humanism, secular humanism, is a scary doctrine because man is at the center in that religion and not God. This is not a democracy, it's a dictatorship. God runs the show. Amen. And we bow down to him. Amen. And thank God he runs the show. Thank God he does. Oh my Lord, if I don't know that, where's the nearest drink? Where's the nearest meth lab, the basement, or something? I'm going down up, all up and now. I'm finna just eat, drink today to tomorrow. We will be of all men what? Most miserable. Most to be pitied. Thank God he running the show. Because I can say, you know, when I hear of another child sold into sex slavery, which is just, it's amazing that that is still a thing. I can't watch specials on it, movies on it. It's just way too painful for me to see the little girls. I have to know that my God is in control. I have to know that. I have to know that he is sovereign. I have to know that. I have to know that this is going to come to an end. I have to believe that in the hope that Christ Jesus is coming again. Christ, our hope in life and in death. He's our only hope. Thank God we have hope, a hope that will not disappoint. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Back to 2 Corinthians. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Yes, what Satan tried to do, go back to Eve, she began to believe that which was over and above and beyond what God had told her. You understand that? So when your thoughts start drifting just ever so slightly and it's allowed to continue to drift slowly, next thing you know, you are thinking things that are way out the box, out the Bible. So he's saying, when an idea, a speculation, a reasoning, an argument, a theory, a notion, a plan, when it starts to raise up against the knowledge of God, we are to what? Destroy it. Who is to destroy it? We are. Right? I can't get Miss Palmer to destroy the thoughts that's coming in my mind.
That's right.
Just like I can't destroy the thoughts and speculations and reasonings that are arising in your mind.
Amen.
Verse 4 says it again. It says, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powered. You must use those divine, God-empowered weapons to destroy the thoughts, speculations, reasonings, and notions that are happening in your mind. That is a personal thing. I call it taking care of your vertical between you and God. Some say the cross is up and down representing man and God, and here is man and man. But before there's a horizontal, there's a vertical. You want to find out the problems in your life, when there are problems in your life, troubles in your life, you're more lukewarm toward the things of God and so forth and so on, troubles in your relationship, you need to check your vertical. Are you in line with the word of God? How is your relationship with God? Is there sin that is causing that relationship not to be as vibrant as it once was? And we need to be checking our vertical, meaning our relationship with God, every minute of every hour of every day, of every week. Because it doesn't take much in this crazy world to get distracted. And here we go. Theories and notions and arguments and reasons start arising in your mind. You all know, you all, everyone in here has been around long enough to know It doesn't take much to be thrown off mentally in our minds. Doesn't take much. Life turns on a dime. Dime is very small. It can quickly turn. Wrong thoughts is allowed to sit. And we're not talking about thoughts that enter. Remember, not just entering. It's thoughts that are allowed to sit in your mind. That's where you get in trouble. You're supposed to expel them. Let's keep reading verse 5. Verse 5. We are destroying speculation and everything that every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought. Look at this. Captive. Amen. To the obedience of Christ. Leading every thought captive. So I always put it like this. There's a Holy Ghost army. There's a security police led by the Holy Ghost in your mind. When a thought comes in, you are, symbolically speaking, metaphorically speaking, send that security team toward that thought, handcuff it, and lead it captive out of your mind. You make the decision. We must make the decision. I will not allow that thought to sit in my mind. And we must seek, if you will, S-I-C, the Holy Ghost security force on that thought or those thoughts. Handcuff them and lead them up out of your mind. That is our job to do. And when that happens, you will be well on your way to be killing sin. Look at 2 Corinthians, did we mention this last time? I think we did, that the word of God, the Bible, the sword is symbolized as an executed with as a point of execution, a tool of execution, a weapon of execution. So we went over that. Romans 13:3, we talked about the ministers of God. They don't bear the sword in vain for nothing. The minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. We talked about it is a killing device. There was a gas chamber, the lethal injection, and so forth. But before all of that, there was a sword. What did Samuel use to carry out the judgment on God, on Agag? He used a sword and hacked him to pieces. The transition sentence of that, bringing it back home, was if you want to carry out the death sentence on our sin, we need to use the sword of the Spirit and execute sin. And why you have to keep on doing it? Because the next sin is going to keep the next one, or even the same one. Yeah. Even the same one. I'm going to say the next one. And you keep killing that one. There's always going to be something. Remember, the battle is spiritual. The battle is spiritual. You can only, O-N-L-Y, you can only kill sin by, through, because of what? The Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own strength. Go back to what we just read. The weapons of our warfare are not natural, carnal, physical. Those are useless, powerless, worthless. When it comes to the spiritual battle of sin. See, you can't shoot lust. You can't stab fleshly desires. You can't strangle, backbiting and back talk. The sins, you can't, all of that is spiritual. The word of God can pierce it, if you will. Because it is a spiritual weapon, a spiritual device. And so we can only kill sin by the flesh. And I won't go, we already read Romans 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's almost time that we almost got to the same exact spot again. I will say this, the Word of God is the greatest spiritual weapon in our arsenal against sin. It's the greatest spiritual weapon in our arsenal against sin. It's the only offensive weapon. All the other armor, notice again, is frontal armor. helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, the belt of truth, shoes of the gospel. Everything is frontal. Why? Because you're never going to be turning your back on that. You don't need anything back there. We're not turning our backs. You understand what I'm saying? And even the sword that we've been given is a Makaira, a short sword, 6 to 18 inches. So you can't, you have, ain't no sniper sitting 100 yards away. No, this is up close, frontal only. Oh, Lord, you can preach on that. How many people have turned their backs and just got all shot up? Then I mean, turning back would be like just you have maintained, if you will, disobedient lifestyle to the things of God. And God takes you out. He will take you out. John 4, somewhere in there, 1 John, rather, lets us know that there is a sin unto death. He said, I don't say pray for it. There is a sin. There is sin that will take you out. One of them is listening in the church at Corinth, who was so horrible at the reverent table of the Lord's Supper. They were getting drunk and eating other people's food, drunken. He said, for this cause, many are weak and sick, and many have died. You turn your back, you're more than likely going to check out of here, spiritually speaking. Because when you become such a blight to the house of God, the glory of God, He will. You're going to go home with Him, but it'll be in disgrace. So let's understand that this is war. It's frontal warfare. It's up close. We need to stay ready. That's why you have to watch as well as pray. You're on guard, and you're in a consciousness of always hearing, either talking to them, hearing from them, ready to hear from them, or ready to talk to them all the time. When you stay there, you're going to be just fine. Because you're going to understand, hey, I need to control my thoughts. Because we are too easily distracted in this world. Too easily distracted. So once again, we're going to stop there again. And Lord's willing, we'll take a closer look at what God says about His word, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? What God says about His word. That's exciting to hear what God said. Not what man said. Not what somebody's made up, but what God Himself in His word has said about His own word, which is our privilege to have as our weapon. Wow, what a privilege. Not just any sword, not just any weapon, but the weapon, the greatest weapon. Father God, thank you. I'm about to say help us, but thank you for being our helper. Amen. In killing sin constantly, consistently, and continuously. Help us to, thank you for helping us to understand that this is war. And to appreciate that we are fully equipped with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt, truth, the shoes of the gospel, and the sword of shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Your word says to put on and keep on, once for all, act the whole, entire, full armor of God. Not have the helmet on, but not the shield. Not the shield, but not the shoes. Or you have the shoes on, but not the belt. No. You have the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, and the shield, and the sword. The whole entire armor. When we have the full armor on, we will be able to stand in the evil day, and we will be able to quench the flaming missiles of the devil. And those missiles, we believe, are aimed at our mind. Amen. As we deflect those flaming missiles from our mind, then we will not be conformed to this world, but instead we will be transformed, meaning that who we really are inside comes bursting forth. How is all of this activated? By the renewing and the renovation of our thoughts, our ideas, our speculations, our reasoning, and the arguments of our mind. That's in our mind. And bringing every thought, reasoning, idea, notion, theory that tries to raise itself over and above the Word of God, we handcuff it, capture it, and lead it away captive to the obedience of Christ, which is the Word of God. Help us to get this in Jesus' name. Amen.